Welcome back to the Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we're going to be chatting about Friendsgiving. So, for those of you who didn't know, Leon and I actually got to meet up in person for the first time in like 5 years. It was very exciting.
It was very exciting. I can't believe it was 5 years. Although, I feel like two of them got eaten up by COVID. It's like a weird time warp.
It definitely is. So, when we were getting together, we decided, I think like midway through our visit, that we were going to cook together and then we could use what we cooked together and talk about it for our Friendsgiving episode.
Yeah, so if you've been listening for a while, you know we usually try to do a quarterly dinner party cooking recipe episode. And I thought since Kaylee's here, we might as well one, cook together because it would be fun, and two, because I like being efficient, I suggested that we just use this for our dinner party so that we didn't have to cook again.
Yeah, it was really great. And I really enjoyed, one of the things I liked about coming to visit you was also that I got to see a little bit more about like your lifestyle and how you've really transitioned over to like a more plant-based diet, because literally all of the recipes look so delicious. So good.
Yeah, it was the first full day you were there, and we were just sitting on the floor just looking at cookbooks for like an hour.
Yeah, we were just looking at cookbooks, and it was a really fun time.
So the cookbook that we ended up picking, for lunch that same day, we had something from it. It was the collard greens with the shiitake bacon. Did you want to talk about your story about the bacon? Because I think it's funny.
Yeah. So what I did was when we were sitting and looking at the shiitake bacon, I went and I took a picture of their picture of what it looked like at the end. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at this. It's mushroom shiitake bacon. Because I know that Long really likes mushrooms and he really likes bacon. And so I sent a picture of it to him and he was like, shroom bacon. And then just had a crying face after it. And so I showed it to Leanne and she was like, oh, it seems like he would really like that. And I was like, no, I think he's crying because it's not meat.
Has he been converted?
Yes. So I made the recipe after I got back home. And I made collard greens, kidney beans, and I made a mushroom bacon. And I have to say, the collard greens, he was like, I'm not a big fan of collard greens, but these are reasonably good. The kidney beans, I don't think he loved them, but I think that might have also been because I used beans that had been dried. And so I think they were a little bit tougher than like the beans you get in a can typically. So I'm like, maybe if I left them to soak for a little bit longer, maybe then they'd be a little bit better. TBD. I still love the recipe. I'm still going to keep making it in the future because it was delicious. And then I made the mushroom bacon and he was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. He just like kept eating it. So even though it wasn't true bacon, he did really like it.
And I think this is what we talked about when you were visiting, is that if you kind of present it to meat eaters or like meat fans, is that weird? Is that a weird term?
Meatitarian?
I feel like if you try to give it to them and be like, yeah, this is bacon, I feel like their initial reaction is, no, it's not bacon. Like, you're crazy. But if you present it as, hey, this is mushroom, and it's a really good mushroom recipe, I feel like that's different.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like whenever you're presenting something that's like vegan or vegetarian to someone who eats meat, don't try to find like a meat substitute for it. Just be like, this is really good mushrooms, or this is really good jackfruit, and you're gonna love it. And I feel like people are more open to it that way versus if you're like, this is a substitute for X, Y, and Z because it's never going to taste fully the same.
Yeah. I feel like the people who are pure just meat and potatoes people, what I'm going to say probably won't apply. But I think a lot of people who eat meat eat vegan recipes a lot and just don't know it. Mm-hmm. Because like a lot of people's quote favorite recipes or whatever, it just happened to be vegan.
Or at least vegetarian, because it's like there might not be any meat in it, but it's still really good.
Yeah.
Kind of like you can enjoy potato chips. Potato chips are vegetarian.
And depending what you fry them in, they're technically vegan.
Even better.
Also, I think Oreos are vegan. So if you like Oreos.
Yeah. So next time somebody says that they don't like vegan food, ask them if they like Oreos. So that was really fun. A couple other things that we did. We went on a couple walks when I was there. And then we went hiking one day. So that was super fun. We actually did like a little picnic. We did a little picnic and hike, and that was great.
And we saw all the dogs.
Yes, there were so many dogs. There was a dog park right by where we were hiking, and all these dogs were just running and frolicking. It was so cute.
Okay, the funniest thing, though, is do you remember the dog? Because I had my, like, fake meat sandwich, and the dog ran up to me and sniffed my sandwich and then just looked at me and ran away.
Yeah. They were like, I thought this would be a meat sandwich, and it's not. I don't like this.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny. But yeah, that was super fun.
Yeah, it was. And then we went and tried a couple vegan places while we were together. We tried a vegan bakery, which I hope my coworker never listens to this episode because I'm about to spill the tea on how I really felt. So Ashley, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. But we tried a vegan bakery and we got like a brownie and a cannoli and what else? A cupcake? And we like split it. And it was really good, but it was way too sugary. Way, way, way too sugary.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the cannoli shell was like an A+. The filling, I personally felt like they almost tried to fill it with frosting instead of... Because in a traditional cannoli, it's the ricotta, which like they sweeten a little, but it's not like super, super sweet. I mean, I guess depending on your taste preferences. But I feel like this, they just filled it with a frosting. It was almost like eating a tube of frosting, which I wasn't a super fan of.
Yeah, I feel like if you gave it to me and I was a little kid, I'd probably be like, oh, this is delicious because it's sweet. But I feel like now, as I'm older and I have a more refined palate, I feel like it wasn't as delicious as I wished it would be. But the shell was very good. I just don't think that the filling was what I wished it was.
I also was a fan of the brownie. I liked the brownie.
The brownie was good. The brownie was good.
The cupcake itself was also very good. The frosting had the same problem, though, of being too sweet.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe it's just because powdered sugar is much cheaper to come by compared to, like, vegan butter. I don't know.
Yeah, but I thought it was a fun experience.
Yeah, it was good. And then we also went to a park while we were there. I'm trying to think, what else did we do? We got to see Mars.
We saw cows.
Oh, yeah, we got to see cows. We took a picture by a cow statue.
We also got to see Mark. Mark is not the cow.
Yes.
Oh, and Kaylee made me take touristy photos because I was too intimidated to.
It's a must. As my mom told me, she was like, you need to have photos with your friends for one day when you pass away. I was like, oh, 0 to 100 real quick, mom. Okay.
But the thing is, about what your mom said, is I feel like every funeral I've been to, which is not that many, but they always have like a collage thing up, right? So what if all the photos are on your phone? Or what if you have no photos with your friend? I feel like she has a valid point.
She does, which is why I'm like, okay, it did come off a little strong, but I'm like, I think that your heart is in the right place.
I just think it's funny though. Take photos for when you're dead.
Yeah, that she was like, I went to a funeral the other day. And this was my thought. And I was like, okay.
It's like, not for the memories, not to put on your fridge or like on a mantle. It's like, for the poster when you're dead.
I mean, it's fair though. She's like, when I'm dead, I want people to know that I had friends. And I'm like, me too. I also would like people to know that I had friends in an ideal world.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, so it just made me giggle. So that's part of the reason why we took photos. I think I told you that when we were taking photos. I was like, otherwise, my mom will be yelling at me. But yeah, and then, like we said, we saw Mark. We got hot pot with Mark, and then we had a game night, and it was so fun. We played, what was the game we played?
Wavelength.
Wavelength. I'm writing it down because I really liked it.
Here's the thing. One of the things in Wavelength had to do, it was like a scale of like straight to curvy. And then I think Mark was like the letter 3. And then we had this whole discussion and I told Kaylee and everyone else there that like, no, I put it here because I have a 3 with a flat top and then it's curvy on the bottom. And she didn't believe me. So she made me write the like number 3 multiple times. And then I gave it back to her and she was like, oh, you do write it like that. I just think my favorite part about that is you thought I was trying to mess with you, whereas I honestly wrote the number that way.
I was like, I don't know anybody who writes threes with a flat top. I think I've only ever seen threes with a flat top, like, when you're typing.
I don't know.
I guess it's kind of how some people write A's the way the A's are on the keyboard.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like the A with the little thing on the top. You got to do the circle with the line coming down.
But one thing I do think about sometimes is why are our G's that are typed so much different from the G's that we write? Because they're like double bubbled. Like, think about the G for Google, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know, it almost kind of looks like eyeglasses.
But could you imagine having to write the typed G? The way we write it is so much simpler.
That's true. I wonder if other countries or other cultures have stuff like this where they write it differently from how it would be typed.
I don't know, but I know how the rest of the English-speaking world calls it Zed. I have strong feelings on that.
They call what Zed? The typed G?
The letter Z.
What?
XYZ. I'm pretty sure it's the rest of the English-speaking world. Maybe not Canada, because they're too close. I don't know what they call it in Canada. But, like, in England and I think in Australia, they call it Zed.
I'm going to need, like, a minute to process this.
You can Google this. I think what I read once, which was probably on Wikipedia, so who knows if it's true, is that because when they made up the alphabet song, they needed something to rhyme with Next Time Sing With Me, so they had to put it as Z.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that would track. So then what do all the other countries do? Do they not have the alphabet song? Do they not use the alphabet song?
I don't know. I don't know anyone from one of those countries.
I'll probably run into someone from one of those countries for my work eventually. So I will be asking them. That'll be like a top priority of mine. I'm going to be like, I need to clear this up. Do you use the alphabet song and is Z Zed?
You should ask them what song they sing to teach the kids alphabet.
I'm going to ask. I might even ask my coworker and be like, hey, next time you have a meeting with these people, next time you have a meeting with people who are English speakers, not from the US, can you ask this for me? Because I'm curious. I have to know. Anyways, I think we should pivot and talk about when we actually made this meal.
Kaylee, what did we make?
We made tempeh with a peanut sauce and coconut rice and a cucumber salad.
And it was delicious.
It was so good.
I think it was funny because we went on our hike and then we went to the store and then we came back to make it. And we're just looking at the recipe, and then it was like, marinate it for at least an hour. And then we're like, well, good thing we read this now, because I think we were going to, like, shower or something first, but it was already, like, almost dinner time.
Yeah, I think it was, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah. So I was like, this is why they tell you to read the full recipe before you start.
Mm-hmm. It was super good, though. I craved that cucumber salad. It was so good.
Yeah, and it's also really simple to make. I think it's just like some chilies and some rice vinegar, teeny bit of sugar, and like that's basically it.
It was so good. I kind of want to make it again. I used to not be a cucumber person, and then I ate that, and now I'm more of a cucumber person.
Plain cucumbers don't have much flavor. There's not much going on.
I feel like plain cucumbers, I can do it in like, I have this recipe where I make kind of like a sushi bowl, minus the sushi, so it's not really a sushi bowl, but it's like marinated tofu, cucumbers, carrots, rice, avocado. And so I feel like that was my soft introduction to cucumbers. So then when this came along, I was fully ready for it.
I think also the cucumber salad felt kind of fresh and light. So when you ate it with the peanut sauce on the tempeh, it was really nice to kind of go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But when we were making this recipe, what were your thoughts on the tempeh?
I liked it. I had tempeh once or twice before, but not like frequently. I think just because a lot of times I was like, I'll just use tofu. It's easier. Not that tempeh's hard, but I think maybe because I was just more used to using tofu and a lot of recipes call for tofu. I like it. I don't know. I don't really have much to say about it. Also, I don't know if I necessarily like the tempeh as much as I liked what we put on it. Like, I don't think I would just eat a plain thing of tempeh with nothing on it.
Yeah. I think the sauce is what made the tempeh really good, because I also tried making a tempeh recipe after I came back home And when I was talking with my boyfriend, he was like, yeah, I can't do it because the texture is too much like peanuts. Like, it's kind of weird for me. Which I'm like, I could see that. I think it still works. I almost wonder if it'd be better to try it with tofu instead of tempeh. And I think it might also be good because then you have more volume.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure if it's because the tempeh was maybe trying to mimic something else. It's more dense than tofu.
It is. It's much more dense.
It's funny, though, because when I was eating it first, I didn't really think about it. And then you told me that he said it was like peanuts. And then I made the recipe again since you left.
Because it's so good.
And then the next time I was eating it and I just kept thinking of peanuts.
Right. Once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
I think it's the one I get is like a mix of different things. But I think traditionally it's like soybeans.
Yes.
That like fermented and they like pack it into like a rectangle.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really a problem. Like I didn't really have an issue with it.
I could see where some people might have an issue with it. I think it's one of those things that could kind of go either way. One thing that I was curious about, though, is like if you substituted the tempeh, say, for example, like a tofu, I wonder if it would still be able to absorb the flavor the same way, because I've never really done like a peanut sauce with tofu. Have you?
I don't know if I have. Also, with this recipe, you may have to mess with the ratios for the marinade / sauce. Because I don't know how much the tofu would soak up of it. So like if you need more, I feel like it wouldn't hurt to have more, because what you do at the end is you drizzle the marinade on top of the dish anyway because it's tofu. So like you can just reuse it and eat it. I know we were talking about how for you, it could be good on chicken too, but the thing is you would have to make a double batch of the marinade because you would have no sauce.
Yeah, which would make me so sad. I feel like that's one of the beautiful things about eating vegetarian and vegan recipes is if you marinate something in it, nothing is meat. It doesn't need to be cooked. So you can just drizzle it right over the top afterwards and it's fine. And it's good.
I like that too. I think what you do, I find this kind of hard to find sometimes, but I think it's coming into more grocery stores these days, is to use the super firm tofu. So like there's firm, extra firm, and then super firm. And then that's the one that comes in like a vacuum sealed bag. It's like super like squeezed out and like dense. So I think if you were trying to make a substitute for the tempeh, is I would use that because it's a little more sturdy.
I could see that. I will say though, the rice for this recipe was so good. I don't usually get coconut rice, like hardly ever. So good.
Okay, here's the thing, is when I remade it, I don't know what happened to my coconut milk. And the recipe calls for full fat, but we had a can of reduced fat coconut milk. And I was like, eh, it's coconut milk. I still want to make this tonight. I'll just do it. I think you need the full fat coconut milk. It didn't taste like as coconutty without it. Also, I think for the whole recipe and the amount that you're using, I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah. Also, one thing I will say is I used the Costco coconut milk, which, let me tell you, I don't know what Costco's deal is, but like, I have had coconut cream that is less creamy than their coconut milk. Their coconut milk is essentially coconut cream. Like, I don't know, maybe I just got a weird batch. I have no idea. But every time I use it, it's like the whole thing is the cream. And then there's like the teeniest bit of milk at the bottom. And I'm just like, I don't know if this is a life hack for those of you looking for coconut cream that's like full fat. And I don't know if it was just my batch, but yeah. I got like a 6-pack or something of coconut milk because I was like, oh, I like to use it sometimes to make like Thai curry and other things like that. No, it's like the most full fat thing you'll ever consume. It's delicious, but not what I anticipated.
I think also for some recipes, you're really counting on the liquid part, like the coconut water part, to be mixed in because you need it more milk consistency than butter.
Yes. And like, I thought it was maybe just me when I was opening it. But then I had a coconut cream that I tried to use for some frosting the other day. And I was like, wow, this has less fat in it than my coconut milk from Costco. I was so mad.
You know, when Costco tells you that it's full fat coconut milk, they're not skimping.
They are not. So just know that if you go and buy coconut milk from Costco, be prepared. It's probably like coconut cream.
I still never been to a Costco.
We could have went when I was there. I have my Costco card.
I feel like I want to go just for the experience of it.
They do have nice samples. I will say every time I shop there, I'm very tempted to like get some pizza or get a hot dog when I leave. But then I always have this paranoid feeling of like, if it's just me shopping there, where do I put my cart? Do I take it into the line with me? If I leave it all alone, will someone steal my stuff? Like, it's a whole ordeal. And so that's why I usually don't. I don't think I've ever gotten like any of their foods that they have after the checkout from there before. Although I have thought about it many times.
Maybe it can be your brave act.
Maybe. I think I'm going to have to go there with my boyfriend, though, so one of us can watch the stuff and the other one can get the things.
But then it's not a brave act!
It still is, because I still have to go into line and interact with people.
You do that anyway! I feel like the brave act would be you figuring out what to do with the cart while you go in line.
I feel like that's just scary. That doesn't feel brave to me. That just feels scary.
That's not a brave act. That's a scary act. What if someone steals my food?
Yeah. I have like $30 of groceries in there.
Okay, yeah. You got some assets in that grocery cart.
But Costco's really nice. If you ever come visit me, we can go to the Costco.
I love that. So, coconut rice. Talked about the tempeh. We talked about the cucumbers.
Should we talk about your hatred for cilantro?
I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I hate cilantro. And before anybody asks, it does not taste like soap. It just tastes bad. Every time I'm like, oh, I don't like cilantro, they're like, oh, does it taste like soap? And I'm like, no. Like, I don't know where this whole soap thing came from.
Speaking of cilantro, all of my cilantro flowered when I made it this past year, like when I grew it. And now I have a ton of cilantro seeds to plant for the next year. I feel very evil about it. Like, I somehow hacked the system.
Except that's how the system's designed.
I know. But it feels illegal. I was growing my own food.
I think that's what farmers do, Kaylee.
I know. And one day, I would love to have like a little garden and have my own little plants. That's what I want to do. I want to just like self-sustain as much as possible.
Question, how did you collect the seeds?
Oh, so I watched a YouTube video because I was like, what if I want cilantro for next year? I was like, how do you harvest the cilantro seeds? So I looked up a YouTube video and this guy was like, yeah, you just wait until it pretty much just dies at the end of the season because it always will. And he was like, and then if it's flowered, all the seeds will be on the end. So you wait till it kind of dries out and then you take all the seeds and then you just keep them for next year.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I also found out that my basil is producing seeds, which is awesome because it's been flowering.
Ooh, I should look at mine.
Yeah, and so I found out that the seeds kind of hang out in the flower because I was going and I was cutting it and I was noticing that I was getting these little black things all over me and I was like, I don't think this is dirt. And then I realized that they were the seeds.
Yeah, because I do know what that is like during the season, like you're supposed to keep picking the flowers off.
Mm-hmm.
So it like puts the energy into more yummy leaves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. I have like a weird kind of basil, though. I think it's like a spicy Italian basil. So it's not like your normal sweet basil that you'd get at the grocery store. Like the leaves are very, very small. They're like maybe the size of your thumbnail.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty good, though. I do like it.
I think it was not this season. I think it was the last season. My uncle gave me a Thai basil plant. That was cool.
Ooh. Yeah. And then I don't know how to harvest from my oregano. That one, I've got no idea. I should probably look it up. But I have no idea how to harvest from that one. But my oregano is getting massive.
So you know how you said for peppers, as long as they're red, you could take them and like take the seeds and then grow it. I wonder if I could take the seeds out of my little cherry tomatoes and reuse them.
You probably could. I should probably do that for my overripe ones because I've got some overripe tomatoes on my vine right now.
Mm-hmm. Usually I just kind of like chuck them, but I'm like, I could probably try to get the seeds out and save them.
Do you know what I did with one of my overripe tomatoes? Was I just put it in my other planter that didn't have a plant in it. And I was like, it can decompose and then the seeds will be there and then maybe it'll grow something.
I was going to ask if it worked, but did you just do it?
Yeah, I just did it a couple weeks ago.
Keep me updated.
I'll keep you updated. It'll probably happen like next spring if it starts to grow.
Yeah. That's so cool though.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And then, oh. Long's mom sent us some seeds for Thai chilies because they grow some Thai chilies. And she sent me like a massive bag of seeds.
So what do you do with that many seeds?
I planted some and I started growing some, and then I'll plant some more next year probably. But I started growing them and then they just flowered this past week. So it's starting to get cold where I'm at, and I'm like worried that it'll dip too low for the temperature. So I'm like, I have to bring it inside and then we'll see if maybe we can get some chilies.
That's nice. Yeah, I think mine's more of a seasonal thing only because I don't want to worry about Ella eating things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it's best to keep all that stuff outside. Although her catnip's out there. Oh, no.
You can bring the catnip inside, maybe.
What if she, like, can you OD on catnip?
I don't know. I'm about to go look this up.
I mean, I guess not us, because it doesn't affect us. But remember how we got her the catnip tea?
Yeah. So how is the catnip tea going? Does she like it?
So we went to this little place that had a bunch of different stalls. And Kaylee the tourist bought nothing. She talked me into buying a bag of catnip and lemongrass tea, and our excuse was that it was for Ella.
Yeah, because catnip and lemongrass. Apparently cats like it.
Yeah, so I remember when Kaylee was still here, we put it on like the floor dry to see if she'd be interested, and she was like kind of meh about it, but I haven't tried it yet, but I feel like I should try to brew her some catnip tea. I obviously let it cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like she might like it, because she loves catnip.
Yeah, I feel like she'd like it. When you have tea in the fall, you should just brew her some tea.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
Oh, we should probably tie this back to Friendsgiving. So, what are your opinions on Friendsgiving?
I feel like, especially in undergrad, I was very anti-Friendsgiving. Because I was of the mindset of Thanksgiving is a holiday, and you celebrate it on that day, and if you don't celebrate it on that day, it doesn't count. And I think that tied into my anti-Friendsgiving, because you're trying to do a Friendsgiving that's not on Thanksgiving.
I can understand your point. However, I think that Friendsgiving is nice because it gives you an excuse to kind of just like get together with your friends. I will say, though, what we did when we just kind of cooked together, I almost feel like that would be preferable to like a true Friendsgiving where everybody brings a dish. In my opinion, because, and maybe it's just because I'm super introverted and I'm like, do I need to see that many people all at once? I don't know. But I feel like maybe my preference would be just to like cook a meal with a friend for a Friendsgiving, because then it seems like a lot less stress. And then you just spend the time cooking together.
Yeah, it was super fun that way. I think with the traditional Friendsgiving, I see why people like it now. I'm less like up in arms about it. But I think for me too is that there's always so much going on that time of year anyway. And then obviously if people have different friend groups, it's like trying to find the time to get everybody in one place is just kind of stressful around that time of year.
Agreed. It's definitely a more difficult thing to do.
To your point too about just getting together and cooking something, I think that time of year, you're already going to be having a lot of mashed potatoes and stuffing and turkey and this and that. It's like, do you want to really eat all that again on a different time?
Yeah. I feel like maybe for Friendsgiving, rather than doing like Thanksgiving food, everybody should just bring like a dish that they like. Do you know what? I talked to my cousins about this, and I'm hoping that we actually do this, but I saw this thing on TikTok, because of course it's where I saw it, where people did a appetizers and drinks thing. It's kind of like the board thing where everybody did like a different appetizer and drink, and they would bring an appetizer and a drink, and then you would just have drinks and appetizers.
That's fun.
I know. It looked so fun. It looked so fun. I was like, that sounds delicious, because then you've got a whole bunch of little snacky food, and then you've got like different drinks.
Also, depending on the size of the group, then you don't have to cook for like 8 people.
Yeah, because I feel like the big debate for Friendsgiving is always who's cooking the quote-unquote main food. So usually who's cooking the protein, because that's going to be the bulk of what people eat. Or, you know, I feel like it's more expensive or there needs to be more of it. And so I think that by doing something where it's like appetizers and drinks, it kind of takes that pressure off because you don't need to worry about making like a big thing.
That's so cute though. I might steal that. I did do a dips, drinks, and desserts party once.
See, like that sounds super fun. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this Friendsgiving episode. Our next book club is going to be The Christmas Murder Game by Alexandra Benedict, and that will be dropping on December 4th.
We hope you enjoyed our discussion, a little bit about Kaylee's visit, a little bit about what we made together, and our thoughts on Friendsgiving. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to hear from you, so you can email us at zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you are listening.